Romans 8. We do not know how to pray as we ought, so the Spirit assists us in our need. We usually think about that passage, it's related to our personal prayer. Because, you know, we're praying to God and asking for things, and we're trying to relate to a God that in the end it's almost impossible to know, at least know completely. And so, how do we even pray? One thing that came out from our survey that we took a couple years ago for the parish and where the parish was going was, you know, I don't know how to pray. Teach me how to pray. And so it's a common sentiment. And it's a beautiful thing to consider that in our weakness, the Holy Spirit assists us in our prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought. So we go on praying, maybe confused, not knowing if it's being heard, but the Holy Spirit is assisting us. That's how the passage is normally interpreted and prayed on and prayed through. But there's another aspect to prayer, to praying. That's what I just shared with you is called private prayer, devotional prayer. It's what we do in praying our hearts, and that's important. But the most important type of prayer, my brothers and sisters, is liturgical prayer. That's the official prayer of the church. And the highest form of liturgical prayer is, guess what? The Mass. Because it's not our prayer. It's not my personal prayer. It's the official prayer. It's Christ's prayer to God the Father. His presence here. How does Christ make his presence here among us in 2017? Through liturgical prayer. This is the plan of salvation. So that's why the Mass is so important. So it's so cool to think about is that when you come to Mass, you know that you are praying as you ought. And so how does the Holy Spirit work in public prayer, official prayer? I'm using synonyms here. Liturgical prayer, the official prayer of the church. Under the supreme authority of the church, in line with sacred scripture and our tradition, emerges forth true worship to God. And so, yes, the supreme authority of the church, the Holy Father, governs and directs the official prayer. And what that means is, when we come here, you join with the priest. The priest is the official prayer. Everyone's praying, but the priest is the official prayer to offer a sacrifice that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And to remember that all of us are praying together. The priest is the head, the people is the body. That's why the priest, you know, at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer says what? Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours, right? So this is important. Now, since it's not my prayer, it's not your prayer, it's Christ's prayer, because he's the only mediator between God and man. Since it is his prayer, that means we can't just do whatever we want, right? And so there's official prayer texts of the book. There's basically three of them. One is here, what we have is the lectionary. So this is the official biblical scriptural readings that are part of our official worship. And so it's on a three-year cycle. So basically we get through the entirety of the scriptures in every 3 years you hear them. And there's actually four volumes of this. All right? But it encompasses the entirety of the Bible. So here's what this means. There's a designated passage for each Sunday. So I don't have the liberty to like change which scripture passage, because this is the prayer of Christ for this week, right here, 2017, whatever day it is. What day is it? Sunday. Okay. So if I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament this week, and Mark chapter 10, the rich young man, and I was really inspired and moved, I don't have the liberty to go change the readings. Well, that connects more with me. It's more personal. It's not my prayer. It's not my prayer. Are you with me? Okay. So this is lectionary. All right. Official prayer book number one. Prayer book number two. The official prayers during the official prayer, which is the liturgy, the official worship. This is called the Roman Missal. Sometimes it's referred to as the sacramentary. So the opening prayer at Mass, the prayer over the gifts, the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer at the end of Mass, they're all contained in this bad boy. All right? Now, these prayers are incredibly ancient. And they're beautiful. There's a lot of meaning that's part of them. But that's not why they're so valuable and important. Because this is how the Holy Spirit changes, forms, and shapes our prayer so that it is pleasing to God. And, you know, I can read one of the opening prayers and I'm like, you know, that was pretty good, but, you know, I could do something better. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Good and gracious God, we know you are here among us. We feel your presence. Now, if I did that, take me out. Okay. But you see, I can't do that. It's not my prayer. I can do it in the shower. I can do it at home, okay? That's nice personal prayer because this is the prayer of Christ, okay? It's Christ. This is the official prayer. And so our goal in the official prayer is to join and unite ourselves with it, not to go in another direction and pray some different prayers. You with me? Okay. Now, this is going to be the surprise. The most contentious part of our official worship, which we call liturgy. And the highest form of liturgy or liturgical prayer is the Mass. Did you know that there is an official worship prayer text for the music of Mass? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, my friends. It's called the Gregorian Missal. It includes the official liturgical, which means the official worship, chants to be used at Mass. And so it's not a matter of, well, I like this kind of music, I like that kind of music. There is some allowance for diversity in regards to sacred music. But did you know that hymns are actually to be the last selection in regards to the official sacred music at chant? Do you know what type of hymn is to have, the sacred music is to have the highest form of praise? Gregorian chant. Okay? Gregorian chant. Does that mean that everything has to be Gregorian chant? No, that's not what it's saying whatsoever. But there needs to be some element of that in there. So we have actually, there's an official text, the official worship, in which we pray in a way in which God hears that is pleasing to God. Now, when it comes, so we have an arrangement. We need to kind of form ourselves, educate ourselves around proper worship for Mass. So that's number one. And then a person can choose from a text called the Gradualis Simplex. It's just a simpler form of this prayer book. And then in countries, the bishops can come together and put together a proof set of chants. And then the fourth group of collection of chant of texts is what we call hymnals, hymns. Okay, you with me? But we've kind of switched the order and made everything hymns, and then all other things are afterthought. So just coming to appreciate this. Now, there's two extremes when it comes to music at Mass. There is the extreme of caring too little and the extreme of caring too much. Now, when I was growing up, I was in the camp of caring too little about singing. When we went to Mass, we had the last pew on the left side of the church. Never, ever sit in our pew. Okay? We had the last pew because growing up, there was so much exiting by my parents with us kids that it was the only way. Okay? And there was no such thing as time out, my friends. So the last pew. Now, I grew up Northern Marion County, all right? And so it's the farm community that's coming together. So in the back pew, here is my father, my mother, myself, other brother, sisters. My mother and my sisters, hymn books open, singing. Cool. My father. I've never seen the man open a hymnal. Never. Okay. Myself. I ain't gonna be caught singing. Okay. My brother. My other brother. And my sisters. Okay. They're singing. So it was not cool for men to sing. All right. It was something that's seen as more feminine. Was that right? No, I'm not saying that was right. That's what I was brought up. In fact, you know, in grade school, I only went to the principal's office one time. Guess what class was in? Music! And back then, parents believed teachers. So I got it twice when I got home, all right? So here we are. And this is, you know, this is the way God has worked in my life. Every time that I say that I'm not going to do something, guess what? It's coming down the pipe. Okay. So God calls me to be a priest, meaning I have to sing all the time. All right? Okay. So there's the place of not caring enough. And so there has to be a courage. There has to be a movement to get out of our comfort zone. Because we don't think singing is cool. We're not comfortable with our voice. God gave you your voice. He's pleased. That's pleasing worship. So it's going to take courage. I realize that. But this is important. Everyone has heard the line from St. Augustine, "He who sings prays twice." That's powerful. That's it's quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Then there's the people that care too much. They're not just concerned about music. They're consumed with it. And so after Mass, "Father, why would you choose that hymn?" I don't know. Okay. We used to have these people, guys at seminary too, they'd be consumed with the music. I always dodged them, stayed away from them. I mean, like, it could talk about every little detail. That's to completely miss the picture. Music is not the end. It assists us in going to God. So my counsel is, if you're in the camp that you don't care enough about music, then there needs to be a little fire in your belly, right? A little courage, right? To pick up a book and sing because it's pleasing to God, not because you feel good about it. And those of you who are consumed with music and care too much, take a chill pill, okay? Seriously. All right. Now, when it comes to music, the words are important, but the melody can be almost just as important, maybe more important. In my mind, personally, it's more important. Let me just tell you. I cannot believe, because I listened to music, not church music. I listened to music when I was young, you know, hard rock and roll, 80s music. And I'm amazed after kind of being older now and going and looking at the lyrics and seeing how many words that I had actually misunderstood, and I was singing the wrong lyrics all the time. But I was so moved and jazzed by the music. It was so powerful, right? You don't lie. That happens to you too, right? I'll be singing along and somebody will be like, "What are you saying? What are you singing? You didn't catch that?" Okay, so it was the power of the melody to move us, right? Isn't that true? My friends, when we getting ready for the football game, we weren't listening but to Paul McCartney or Chicago or Boston. We were listening to Queen and Metallica. The Unforgiven, I don't know what he did that he was unforgiven for, but anyway, if you know Metallica. So this was music. I didn't understand half those words, but man, I was fired up and ready to get on the field. So think about that. The melody matters. And so for worship music, you know, you might be moved by a Garth Brooks song, but that's not the melody that moves us to worship. You may have friends in low places. You need to go to confession then. Father Andrew will be hearing confessions during Mass, okay? So the church places a certain melody above all other melodies when it comes to worship, as having designated in itself to be a pleasing hymn to God and to move the heart and the mind to God. And that, my friends, is Gregorian chant. And so we don't hear that very much anymore. So we're introducing some of that because we don't come here for private devotion. We come here to pray as we ought. Amen? And so the Spirit assists us. The teaching authority of the church, the scriptures, the tradition comes together in that regard. Now, for Gregorian chant, here's the thing. If your ear is not accustomed to it, it's hard to appreciate it in the beginning. It really is. It's kind of like, you know, if you've been eating lots of candy, and then you say, you know, I'm going to get healthier, I'm going to eat fruit. How does the fruit taste after you've been eating Snicker bars? I'll take another Snicker bar, please. You have to get accustomed to it. But over time, what happens with the fruit? You feel better, and it actually tastes really good, right? So think about that. We're not, as you're noticing differences and new things that we're doing in our music, just take your time with it and recognize that we're moving in a direction towards prayer, that is praying as we ought, that we might be heard and our lives might be changed.